right there.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your Boston Celtics, and if you'll have them, if you'll claim them, your Boston Celtics, John. And, you know, just how watching the Philadelphia game was frustrating. It's good to see some guys coming back. You know, it's good to see Langford back. He's got lots of energy. He's still a little rusty, though. Tristan Thompson probably played more minutes than they expected in the Knicks win, although a win that I don't think it should have been that tight. I mean, God, the team is kind of tough to watch, John. I think I mentioned this on the last show, but I've definitely fallen asleep in the middle of games several times this year. And I don't know if it's because I'm working hard and I'm tired, or, you know, if the product just isn't that exciting. But I know Brad likes the 3-point ball, and I don't necessarily hate it, but God, it just, the way they set it up, they don't move the ball and they don't go inside. And a lot of times that leads to lack of hustle. And, even Tatum, he doesn't even seem to warm up until the second half anymore. He's just kind of, hanging around in the first half. It's just weird, dude. It's weird.
Well, yeah, I think that there's real problems with, trying to draw too much from this season and all that, blah, 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 whatever. Let's throw all the caveats out right now, right? But the point is, to me, is that the team is not playing cohesively. They're not playing consistently. They're not playing together. And it's nothing has changed in that regard since day one. There are momentary blips where things look good for a quarter, a half, maybe even a couple games, but then they slide back. The Sixers are a good team. They have a chance to go into the finals. Heck, they have a chance of winning the finals. You know, I mean, I'm not going to put everything on the Sixers game, but this homestand, seven games was the chance for the Celtics to kind of right the wrongs of the season, to scrub away the bad stuff, to take the new guy in Fournier and build off of, his addition, and to really just kind of start anew. And really what they've done is just continued. They've continued, what has happened all along. Again, they've continued the fact that Fournier was hurt, or out for COVID protocols. And of course, Romeo didn't come back right away and all this stuff. We all know the reasons, but it's simpler than that. It's simpler than that. And it's that from the team's best player on down, they don't consistently play the right way. I think that's what it comes down to. It doesn't mean he's not talented. It doesn't mean he's not a good player. It doesn't mean the second best player on the team isn't talented or isn't a good player. It doesn't mean they need to be traded tomorrow. But I think that there's a lot of questions that need to be answered in this offseason. And yes, I'm writing off the rest of the season, by the way. So if I'm wrong, we'll talk about it in May or June. But right now, this season is done. Stick a fork in it. It's over. There's 21 games left, I think, if my math was correct. And, seeing what this team had done against the Knicks and Philly these last two games just proves the point to me that they're not a serious player. They're not a serious team. They're a middling team at best, a team that probably should be in a play-in game and hopefully doesn't win the first play-in game and ends up the 10th worst record in the NBA. That's what I'm rooting for at this point. I'm I'm so disgusted with how that they play, how the team plays. I don't think it's an indication that I don't think Jason Tatum's a good player or Jaylen Brown's a good player, but those guys, and I'm going to point to Tatum tonight in particular, because I think it's more often Tatum's issue than Brown's issue. I thought Brown was trying to do the right thing.
Especially early on.
Tatum did the right thing at times tonight. But Jason Tatum makes everything have to be this gargantuan effort to try to get a shot off, when all it takes is pass the ball and get it back. Pass, cut, relocate. Like, it's just... it's simple, man. The game of basketball.
I think he wants to do is shoot that little side step back three pointer. You know, that's all he wants to shoot all season. It's been like that,
and he's killing his team by doing that. And I'm not saying he can't make them. He can make them. He can make them as well as anybody in the league. He can make them. But him doing that, that means no one else touches the ball, which means no one else moves, which means no one else passes, which means no one else drives to the paint and kicks out. I mean, there was one play where Celtics get the turnover or the rebound. They give it to Tatum. Tatum takes 12 seconds and 12 dribbles to get the ball over half court to clang a shot off the side of the backboard or off the side of the rim.
He walks it up so slow.
It just kills
the clock. Yep.
There's no connection to the rest of the team. It's somebody said to me today, it's like watching an AAU game when he's out there. And it is. It's like, okay, now I'm going to show you what I can do. And I could give a shit what he can do. I know what he can do. We all know what he can do. What I want to see him do is lead a team to winning. And this is going to come off like, get off my lawn and I'm old man and stuff. But I'm sick of this. I've watched enough. You've watched enough. It's either he's going to lead and he's going to take those ample talents he has and combine them with what skill he does have around him, which isn't the best skill in the league, but decent enough to compete in the Eastern Conference, certainly to play at the level they did last year, and to be a really competitive team, potentially even the mix to, you know, be a top three team in the East. But what's happened this year has been so terrible on so many levels. And yes, he's had COVID. And yes, all that's true. But COVID doesn't explain 12 dribbles in 12 seconds and a clang three. That's not COVID to me. You know, I don't know. I'm not in that situation. Maybe the brain fog. I don't know. But it's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. And I just believe so much more out of what he can do than what he's doing right now. And there's a question to be asked about whether or not Brad Stevens is the guy to be able to turn him around. But right now, my eyes are turning to the max contract best player on the team. And I'm saying, you got to play different and you got to lead. That's what's got to happen. He's got to be the best player and he's got to lead this team somewhere, not just be the best player who can like blow up for 25 points in a quarter. And that production be what leads them. In the NBA, to be the best player...
Who's it remind you of?
I wouldn't even say early Pierce at this point.
No, I was just going to say attitude-wise.
Attitude-wise?
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
No, I don't. Where are you going?
Let's just go back to his alma mater.
No. This isn't Kyrie. This isn't Kyrie because that's a whole nother level of whatever, of weird. An inability to lead in a normal fashion. This is, I'm 22, 23. I'm given the keys for the first time. What the hell do I do with this? I mean, to me, that's where this is. And so I'm not going to put Kyrie's bullshit on him, but I am going to say, like, he's got to figure this out fast. You know, he just signed the max deal last year. It kicks in this summer. So for this team to go anywhere and if he wants his legacy to be what it is and not just be a good scorer, bad team guy, effectively a Zach LaVine, which is crazy because he's done a hell of a lot more than a guy like that. But to play this way, the way he's played, that's where he's headed, which is points, empty calories, an empty calories player. And there's so much more in him. I mean, he has MVP capabilities. We all see it. Defensively, rebounding, scoring. I mean, it's all there, but you got to be connected. You got to be connected. You got to lead your guys as the best player. You don't have to be vocal. Larry wasn't the vocal guy. There was a lot of guys in those 86 Celtics locker rooms who had voice. Cedric had voice. Mikal had voice. Parrish at times. He doesn't need to be like the chatty Cathy, leader like LeBron, who's just orchestrating everything. Doesn't have to be that, but I don't know that they're getting leadership out of him. And I think if they are getting leadership from him, from style of play, it's not great. That's my point. So I'm upset. I'm upset because I expect more. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, you expect more from the entire team. I gotta tell you though, like I've been pretty happy with Brown for the most part this season because he's willing to sit back and he'll move the ball. But every once in a while, when they really need somebody to go to the rack and, put that pressure on the middle, he's the guy to do it. Tatum needs to do that more. When you say lead in ways that maybe aren't vocal and whatnot, maybe in style of play, that's the style of play. He needs to go in, he needs to attack, he needs to collapse the defense. When they get when the opposing team gets to camp out around the 3-point arc and apply easy pressure, on ball pressure out on the perimeter with minimal effort on rotations to still close it out, that's bad.
Yeah, and at times I would say that's absolutely kind of what it is. I think it's more than that though. Let me put it this way. I think that Jalen did, I thought, did a great job tonight of trying to turn the page from last night. I didn't get any sense of what Tatum's purpose was tonight. I thought he played better at the very end of the game. I thought he had some key plays and he had that 8-point, kind of run there at one point where he was relentless kind of attacking the basket. But I don't think his job is necessarily attack, attack, attack in the same way Jalen's is. I don't think he's that type of guy. But I think he's got to be more of get it, do something, give it up. The stuff that Pop was trying to get them to work on with USA Basketball, that kind of half second, okay, no, move it. Like, that's what he needs to figure out. And I'm not saying that if he plays for Pop, he's going to do well and Brad Stevens sucks and he's the worst ever. Like, I'm over that whole thing that Twitter and Boston sports media are doing right now because it's stupid. The solutions are much more complicated than trade everybody, fire everybody. That's not the answer. We have good players. We have a coach who I think is a talented coach and I think is a good coach. The question is, where do we go? And Tatum, I think in terms of his leadership, yes, he needs to put the ball on the deck and get to the paint. But I think it's also do it, make a decision, move it. Like, that to me is the thing that I see to him of just making the simple pass. Like, I typed it out, like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times tonight. Like, make the simple pass. Like, there was a situation that one of his turnovers was he had the ball in the corner, I think. Peyton Pritchard, kind of comes to the foul line extended, basically above the break, wide open for three. He could have just given him the ball. Instead, he holds it, dribbles some more, makes a move, then he sees Semi Ojeleye in the opposite corner, rifles a pass 15 feet over his head. The turnover, and that happened. That type of play happened a couple times tonight. Where
it has happened,
instead of just make
more
the simple
than a couple
read,
of times, not just tonight, dude.
Right,
all season.
Absolutely.
I mean, even Jalen had a pass to an official tonight, and you know he's kind of notoriously done that several times this year.
I have more, and I have, I guess, and maybe that's unfair. I put more on Tatum than on Brown in terms of his ability to read and make passes. Because I just have a lower bar for what I need from Brown in that regard. He's grown, and I like what he has done. What I like about Brown is I can usually understand his motivation and understand where he's coming from. I still think he's too quiet. I still think he's maybe not emotional enough. He doesn't push the guys. He doesn't, you know, and maybe that's not who he is. But both of those guys are pretty, like, emotionally kind of base, you know. They're not too high, they're not too low, just like their coach, not too high, not too low. But you need some fire at times. You need to have something to kick you into another
gear.
You get
a lot of it out of Smart, like,
but is that enough?
Well, they say they get it from Thompson too.
Okay.
No, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, ah, oh, okay, cool. You know, like, I don't know.
They're never going to get it from Tatum. So, you know, he's not going to be, you know, the KG kind of locker room presence ever.
Not,
ever.
Yeah.
And I know you're Pierce, not – I realize that's an
yeah.
extreme.
Pierce is as far as I want to go with this comparison. You know, Pierce was never.
You want to stop just short of spitting on the bench?
Well, there's a whole bunch of Paul Pierce we could be bringing up right now, but
I just say it, dude.
Yeah.
What we really need is we need a press conference with Brown and Tatum side by side, and then a nice head wrap around. Tatum's head. That's what we need right now.
I still don't think that's as bad as everyone made it out to be. But anyway.
Oh, yes. It was hilarious.
You know, it was. I thought it was. But, you know, Jackie McMullen had a cow about it and whatever. But that was a time when Paul Pierce had to learn how to grow up. Okay? And he and Doc made their, you know, they made their peace. And it took a couple years. And they got there. And that's, I guess that's the kind of the point of this conversation where it turns to Brad and whether or not Brad's the guy that can make him change. Now, there are people out there that are going to say, well, they don't need it. Why does he need to change? He's, you know, he has all these stats and his net rating is through the roof and he's, all of that is true, but he's the best player on a shit team, a 2-game below .500 team that can't get out of its own way, that throws the ball all over the goddamn place.
That, for all intents and purposes, should be a better team than the one that
right.
just gave a serious run almost to the NBA Finals. And
right.
now they're hovering at .500, and, you know, they can't – I mean, the Milwaukee win was nice, but outside of that, they can't give any of the contenders a run.
No. They're – to say they're a class, you know, below that would be generous.
Generous, yeah, totally.
You know, I mean, they're not. You watch that Philly game, and they're not even. The problem is they're not connected. You know, and the
yeah,
night,
they like each other. Hold on, they like yeah. each other, but they're not connected.
Yeah,
you know, they're affable. They're not tight.
Which is what they said about the 19 team. You know, they were fine guys. It just didn't work, right? How many times have we heard that kind of line in reference to the 2019 group? Well, okay, deja vu all over again. You know, look, it's not – yeah, you could argue that there's a mental fatigue that's going on and – and, you know, the short turnaround, I can attribute a lot of this to mental fatigue. you know. But it, you
well,
know, just,
and physical. Jared, I mean, Miami's got a letdown too.
Somewhat.
The short turnaround. Yeah. And then the injuries they have to deal with, and the lineup inconsistency with Kemba out, you know, on the second night of back-to-backs. And, like, the whole thing is a mess. Roster construction is slightly more balanced now than it was. Evan Fournier, despite a slow start with the club, really did provide them, you know, with a significant lift and balances out that whole rotation and helps out with the bench and everything else when he's playing well. It really makes a difference. I mean, I think, you know, we're not going to go back into the traded player exception and the value conversation there, but at the end of the day, I mean, they made some small moves. Those moves are always made to hopefully, you know, inject, you know, some energy. Even Mo Wagner, right? Like, he's super high energy guy, almost a little out of control, you know, lately. But that's the kind, you know, that's what you're, that's the kind of locker room stuff you were hoping to do. The team is just really young, and we've said that before, but it's had some veteran leadership that's been anchored around it. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to take this a different direction in a second, you know, but you're kind of calling out Tatum and whatnot, but I'm not saying that that's not fair, because it is fair, but the team is super young. And so after I tell you about betonline.ag, we're going to talk about Kemba Walker. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, folks. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to get your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Like I said, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I got to throw it a little bit Kemba Walker's way. We give him a little bit of some slack because he started the season a little bit later. But, you know, he's disrupting the lineup and the rotation to some degree, which is because they're young, I think, probably a bigger challenge for this team than it might be for others with one of your star players sitting on the bench the second night of back-to-backs, certainly. But it's also his leadership style. He's not a vocal leader. And when I said that they kind of had all this youth bookended by some leaders, you know, Kyrie Irving was vocal. It just fell on deaf ears. He couldn't get anybody to get behind it. Like you said, the 19 team, but they've always, you know, even Gordon Hayward, you know, he was always grinding, but he was in that locker room. Like, they've always had some veterans that have really kind of tried to push it. And I feel like the only one they really have, despite the off season with Jeff Teague no longer here, Tristan Thompson just barely playing lately. You know, they're not getting it. And even when they made the trades, they got younger guys, right? Kornet's, you know, what is he, 25, I think? Mo Wagner's like 23. Evan Fournier is 28 years old. That makes him like an elder statesman ready to retire on this club. And, you know, he's still in the sweet spot for a great contract. That's a factor for sure. And that's when you really need the guys like the veteran guys like Thompson and Kemba to really fill in that void and push this team forward. And I just don't think that Kemba's that vocal leader. He's a lead by example kind of guy. And you can have lots of lead by example people, and you can have lots of players that are nice and want to work and work hard. I'm not even sure that we can say, like, these guys don't work hard. But I think the lack of practices is really hurting this team, given the fact that they don't have a vocal leader. You know, Brad has always complained about not having enough practice time. You get to this point in the season every single year that he's coached, and you know, the schedule's kind of grinding and whatnot, and they're trying to keep everybody fresh. And so they even cut back on practices, and he'll say all the time, we just don't really have the practice time we need. I mean, I've heard him, it's an excuse, but I don't want to position it in a way where it's like Brad is using it as an excuse, because I don't think he is trying to make excuses. Some of the times he brings it up, team might not even be doing that bad. He just kind of complains that he doesn't have practice time. And I think it's killing him. I honestly do.
Yeah, I think, okay, so to start with the Kemba piece, you know, I think you're right that, you know, I think it's a lot like Hayward in 2019. Where he was trying to get himself right, and you know, that kind of takes him out of the leadership role in a way, because he's trying to get his own game going, and that kind of single-minded focus can sometimes take you out of, you know, the larger, you know, seeing the larger issues at play. I think that's a big part of why, you know, he wasn't there in the first whatever 15 games or whatever it might have been. And then that inconsistency, like you said, of being in and out of the lineup. I mean, you've got a back-to-back once every week, basically. So when that happens, it's like, okay, we try to get some consistency going on the court, and then, whoop, he's out, now he's in. Never mind all the other injuries pulling people in and out. And it's just like, if you don't have practice time, and so now you're trying to learn on the court, but even on the court you can't because you know, one of your best guys isn't there. It's like, even as a vocal guy, it seems like the issue isn't scheme or anything like that. It's really building consistency among the players on the court. You know, I'm doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Everyone knows their job and does it, you know, completely. But it's that kind of in and out stuff has really been a problem. And I think Kemba exemplifies that as much as anyone. And I think you're right. I don't think he's a vocal leader in that regard. I think he's a positive leader. I think he was exactly what they needed after Kyrie, you know, in terms of a supportive guy. But now there's a question, is his game the right fit next to these two guys? You know, there's times when he plays with great energy and focus. And I think, you know, we saw that particularly in the Charlotte game. There were moments where he was really bringing it, and I think that that's what they need, but he has to do that all the time. He has to kind of fit that new role, and I'm not sure he's figured that out yet. And I think that until he does, he's not going to live up to anywhere near what's in that contract, you know. Brad's another story. Brad's another story altogether, you know.
You've defended him over the years.
Yeah, I think we both have, you know.
For sure.
And I think he's a good coach. So I don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater on this, you know, in the middle of a bad year, but okay. Now,
so do you think that practice piece is the reason there aren't changes with Brad? He just doesn't want to vary too much from the strategy because he's afraid he's not going to be able to, like, he's not going to help because you're already dealing with these funky rotations and people in and out of the lineup and then the trades and all of that.
Yeah.
You think he's kind of afraid to do the tweaking because he can't really get in the reps the way you would want to in practice and make an adjustment like that?
I think the tweaking is because he hasn't got anything near consistency in play from other players. You know?
What's the tweak if you haven't seen any kind of stretch of success? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, like, I don't know. You know, it's like people are saying, never play Grant Williams. Okay. So what? I mean, do you want to play Shemmy more? You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to do more Cornette. Like, I don't really understand. I don't understand why people, you know, trade Grant Williams. Like, Really? Like that's the problem? Grant Williams isn't the problem. Grant Williams doesn't have a usage rate of over 30. Grant Williams is he playing great? No. Is he below average? Yes. But you have a first round pick and you gotta try to make him work. Rob Williams was not great in a lot of times he was on the court. There were instances he was, but there were a lot of instances where he was unplayable. So you throw him out too, before he's had a chance to mature as now Rob has? I mean, of course not. So that stuff is stupid to me. I think the question, I think you're right. I think the lack of practice time, the in and out of players, I think that's why. They just gave him a contract extension, so that has a lot to do with it. But I think the inconsistency and the close turnaround, all that stuff, is the reason why he's going to stay. My question is, basically, well, let's try it again, is really what we're kind of saying. Everything will be different next year. I hope that's true, but if it's not, Brad's got to have a better answer. These guys have got to show better. And it just, there's a lot of sense when you watch it as to whether or not Brad Stevens is, can he get Jason Tatum to play the right way? That's what it comes down to. Not whether or not he can make Jason Tatum productive. Jason Tatum has all the skills in the world to be productive. To me, this team is the only guy who goes as far as Jason Tatum wants it to go. We can talk about Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard and whoever the hell else is on here, but your best player is going to dictate largely how far they go. I mean, that's the NBA. I mean, for as long as I've watched it. So if they can figure out Tatum, now they got, okay, now we're in the conversation. Now where can we go? I just think so much of the reason why this year has not worked is because Tatum has not been as effective as he should have been. Productive, yes. But not productive in the way of leading to team success, setting the tone that is played, whether he's on the court or off the court. This is how we play here, and I'm the best player, and this is how we're going to do it because this is what I demand of all of us. You think LeBron's teams play completely differently just because he's off the court? No, that's his team. And Tatum has to be that guy in part, not at LeBron's level, but in part, he's going to be that guy. I mean, don't you think that there's a higher level of leadership and expectation for those truly great MVP caliber guys? Justin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What do you think? I mean, do you think a guy, just because a guy gets 25 points a night, is that enough?
No.
No,
because it's how you get them. It's how you get them. And see, that's why at the very beginning, talking about Brown, I like the way he gets them. When he disappears, he's not disappearing with the ball in his hands, right? And he still, finds a spot on the floor where he can contribute. And tries to set himself up into the offense, and he'll facilitate stuff. And it really just comes right down to parking out, beyond the 3-point line. And he does listen. Tatum does see a ton of, triple coverages, right? I mean, let's face it; they throw everything at him because it clearly works to shut down the offense, And when you rotate back over to Kemba, I mean, Kemba's not really attacking the rim anymore either. So it's gotten even less, or I should say it's gotten even more one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And he's not hitting his shots. So it doesn't even open anything up for anybody else. And I guess, that's something where the teams – this is why Fournier made a lot of sense too in some respects. And the one game, in the past week, was it the Charlotte game, where everything opened up, you had Fournier just all of a sudden, what did he hit, like 7 3-pointers? I mean, it was ridiculous. And look at how the whole game opened up for that club. And I think that's the other detrimental piece. And when you watch Tatum try to get warmed up for the game in the first half, most of his three-pointers don't fall. So then everything's congested for him from that point on as well. So he can't even – you know how sometimes stars got to kind of work themselves to a point where they're warmed up? And we've seen this with Tatum. But he really doesn't have any room to do that. So he's trying, I think, in his mind – that if he hits like his favorite shot and gets a few of those going, that he'll feed off of that and get energy. And it's not entirely fair to say that he isn't contributing, because he does get rebounds. He usually, you know, gets a good amount of rebounds, and he does. It's just the assist piece. It's the ball movement piece. That's where it's, you know, really, really lacking. But there's even moments on defense. I mean, let's face it, this team is not even a really solid defensive club. I think I heard Scal say it during the Knicks game tonight, where he said that early on they looked really good because they weren't over-rotating, you know. And so, like, even when this club tries to put in the effort sometimes, the effort is just, like, not smart effort. And then I think they even wear themselves down trying to do it. The chemistry, the culture, the aura, the camaraderie on the court, you know, again, I feel like this team likes being around each other off the court, you know, locker room and everything else. But, you know, let's shifting gears on this. You said it's a lost season. We can kind of end on this topic. You said it's a lost season, but is it a lost club, and or is it a lost team? And what I mean by that is the lost season is, there's lots of reasons we can stack that up, right? Kemba starting late, the condensed schedule, the short turnaround, Tatum's COVID, like there's a laundry list of excuses, okay? And the team is, I think, in large part, you know, looking in from the outside, probably allowing those excuses to skate them through the season. And then they're saying to themselves, we just got to hover around 500 so we can make the postseason, and then we'll turn it on, right? And so we'll see. We'll see if that's the case. We'll see if they've convinced themselves that that's possible or that's doable. I don't think it is, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, even with 20 games left and finishing strong, or 21 games or whatever, and finishing strong, I still don't think they're going to be tested enough at that point to really, or they'll be worn down by it. You know, they might hit their stride, but they'll probably be worn down by it. And then, you know, what do they do? Why do they hit the home stretch that way then? You know, they don't have anything left in the tank because they, you know, so, but this is really what I'm getting at. With all of those excuses, and the intense pressure and criticism coming from outside of the organization, you know, all of the things that compound on top of the list of excuses and the poor play, et cetera, how well does this team not allow a lost season to totally destroy, you know, the locker room? That's really going to tell us a lot, and we won't see it till next season. But if they survive that, get a normal, at least close to normal offseason, do their offseason workouts, dot, you know, dot, 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 everything that they normally do, get a break from the game. If they come back next season, and regardless of whatever laundry list of excuses there are, maybe it's a grocery shopping list, whatever that list of excuses is, if they don't come back competitively to start next year, at that point, I think that's going to be everything you need to know. There will be lots of blowing up. And I think Brad's name's on the table. I think, you know who I think's indispensable right now? You know who I really legitimately don't think they would trade?
Who?
Jaylen Brown. I think they're so in on Jaylen Brown at this point, because he's already kind of done that. Remember, he was on the bench, you know, at the end of the Kyrie debacle era, and he had to come back. And his continuous improvement shows drive. shows a commitment to adjust, shows flexibility. And in his own way, and it'll never be in the same way, in his own way, Tatum's yet to do that. And I think that's, I mean, they paid these guys, but anybody would take a 23-year-old star and trade for him and put him on a team with a bunch, especially Tatum, and put him on a team with a bunch of other great players and stars and know that they're going to get their money out of it, right? Take a little pressure off Tatum and watch him be awesome again. Take a little pressure off Tatum and put the ball in somebody else's hands and, you know, put him on in the right culture. And that comes back to the whole leadership thing that you were talking about earlier in this episode is, can he do that? And the question is, I don't know. And I'm not saying that Brown can be that type of leader that you're asking for, but he also doesn't kill the team. When he turns it on, he turns it on, right? He rains threes, he attacks the rim, and when he's off, he's fine disappearing into the background and letting the players who are on or can take over, letting them do that and not getting in the way and still contributing a good amount to the team. Without hurting them. I think they're so in on Jaylen Brown, it's not funny. And interestingly, earlier this year, there was that manufactured debate of Brown versus Tatum, which was all meant to say, can they coexist? And I just don't see it. I don't see any battle for leadership of the team or minutes or scoring opportunities going on between Tatum and Brown whatsoever. Yeah, I just don't get such a false narrative.
I think they're viewed a lot more closely by Danny Ainge than a lot of us would think.
Yep.
You know, they, I think they're close. I don't think he's above him, but
yeah. I've always thought there's a case. I said this to my son because he was arguing with me, and every time Tatum did something to take over a game, I'd get a text message, and he'd be like, see, that's why Tatum's better than Brown. And I was like, oh, my God, why are you buying into this? And I keep arguing with him and be like, it's a lot closer than you think. And I know you just put those words in Danny's mouth, right? Like, I think for Danny it's a lot closer. But I've always thought there's an argument to be made that maybe Brown – you know, could end up being above Tatum. Not if you want to just talk about offense, then probably not. But look at the strides Brown's made offensively and continues to make. It's so Jimmy Butler-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think what happened last year is probably a needle in a haystack situation, you know, the oddball. But you're right. I mean, it happened, you know, and it's true, and yeah, I mean, he could be that kind of special leader, but what I don't know is, you know, I guess my point is, I don't think either guy is gone. I don't think either one of those guys leaves. But I think that that doesn't mean that they can't be made uncomfortable or challenged, or, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways that the Celtics could look at this situation. And let me back off the negativity for a second and say, look, they're both incredibly talented players with high upsides, and they're very young with plenty of room to grow and learn and change. This has not been the best situation to see someone best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of stupid to be like, oh, well, we should fire all of them and hate all of them and all that. Like, that's stupid. You know, but on the
other hand, that's why I said next season.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. Like, so what do we learn from what we see now, and what can we do with that to try to make next year better? I mean, that's kind of where I'm at right now with this season, is like, okay, I've written off this year. There's nothing I can see that has value other than getting as high a pick as possible, honestly. And so then what? To me, it's try to get more consistency out of the bench youth, the Romeos, the Grants, the Peyton Pritchards, the Robs. Whatever's going to happen here, they need to be solid, and they need to be something that can be relied upon at an average NBA player level, that Brad can say, look, if you do the right thing, they're going to make it an average amount of time, or they're going to do the right thing an average amount of time. Hard to do that without practice. But that to me is like what we need out of those guys, is just be average. Anything more than average is a bonus, right? If they have an average supporting cast and those two guys doing what I think they can, I think they're fine. But they've got to be average. But those guys, and again, I'm putting more on Tatum than Brown. And I think Brown's defense has not been as good as it needs to be. I think he was asked to do too much offensively, and I think that let his defense slip.
Yeah, but he's fighting injuries, dude. He's being a
team. Yeah, but I mean, right. But what I'm saying is I think that he was asked to do a ton. He put too much on his shoulders. It's been a while since that's happened. So whether he's still carrying a bulky knee around, I don't know. But like, and we had three straight plays, not with Embiid, but with Simmons and Tobias Harris, and I want to say Shake Milton, on him, where he got abused in the post. Three straight possessions against the Sixers. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that. I saw your tweet. Like, what's up there? Yeah. But a couple of plays does not a season make, right? There, like you said, there are times, and I agree, but in large part, you know, he's been pretty strong considering what's being asked of him. And I want to end the show on this, because we're straying far from that final point. And I want to read this to you, because I was not aware of this post game interview with Jalen when I made my point. And Brown is, post-game interview. He said he had a conversation with Tatum before the game about shutting out the outside noise. So it clearly is leaking in, and they're aware of it. And maybe this is going to be their leadership style, but that outside noise is getting in, and how well they survive and stay together heading into next season and starting next season is going to tell us a lot. We nailed it, dude. I can't even believe that he mentioned that after the game. It's a hunch, but it just got pretty validated.
Well, and you remember Marcus Smart said something kind of similar right before the deadline, or right around the deadline, about how we can't let guys have things going on, you know, off the court, and we can't let that bother us, or something to that effect. Specifically what that means, I don't know. But I'd love to know more about what that means for Jason Tatum, I guess. You know, that's kind of my initial thought, is like, okay, what's going on in there, you know? It's that stuff. These guys didn't forget how to play basketball since October.
No, they just forgot how to play basketball together since
together.
October.
Right, right. And so, you know, I don't understand why this has happened twice in 3 years in Boston. I think we need to just kind of circle back to Brad, because we kind of glossed over that just real briefly, but like, you know, I think he's a good coach. I think all those things, but you know, he's definitely not the norm of what a great NBA coach stands for, which is usually a former player who's been there and done it and can kind of get in guys' faces when they need to, but you know, whatever. I'm not a big believer in that kind of rah-rah stuff, but Tatum said something earlier this year about how he really appreciated Mook's leadership, and you know, Mook was that guy who was kind of there for him and whatnot. And I think that's what we thought maybe Tristan Thompson could be, was that guy who's been there, done it, but you know, has kind of sees the bigger picture. You know, Tristan had a great night against the Knicks. Didn't have a great season. I think he's going to be better. And maybe if he plays better, that will lead, just like with Kemba, the better he plays, the more influence he'll have. because that's really what needs to be in Jason Tatum's ear, I think, is veterans. You know, they need to add more veterans who are offering that sage advice and allowing these guys to hear what they need to hear. I mean, Kevin Garnett was not going to be Kevin Garnett without Sam Mitchell. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, these guys, sometimes they need Paul Pierce. Wouldn't be Paul Pierce without Antoine, you know? You need those guys around you to kind of help you, you know, kind of sharpen the steel a little bit. And so that's, I guess, the takeaway from all this to me is, like, they got to shut out the noise. They got to start to trust each other. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that this year. I feel like they need to get away from basketball for like 4 months and come back in the spring fresh. You know, I think that it's going to take that. It's going to take a different approach. But if they can do that, I have a lot of faith in them to be able to look a lot differently at the start of the 22 season next fall than I do, than I probably should, given what we've seen this year.
Well, you and I got to get through the rest of this season of shows, so hopefully they give us a little bit of hope here, regardless of, I think you're right on that. I think a clean slate, I think a fairly full off season, I think workouts, I think family time, all of that. It's been a pretty rough year. Nobody's acting normal anyway, and you know, hopefully we're going to be on the other side of all of this sooner rather than later, but... All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can follow Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or you can search for Celtic Stuff Live on your favorite podcast application. We'd surely love a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. And on behalf of John and myself, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Celtic Stuff Live.